Praise the Lord, everyone. Well, it's good to be here today. Even though at this moment it is just myself and the Lord here. And of course, this is a little different. I've had to do this a few times before where I've preached a message, pre-recorded it, because I'm going to be away for a Sunday. And I try not to miss very many Sundays, but every now and then it's becomes necessary. And since my wife and I are planning a lengthy trip out west, I am not here on the particular day that you are listening to this recording. But even though I can't see you here today, I can imagine and picture in my mind all of your smiling faces. God bless you all, and I hope that today's message will be a blessing to you. I'm putting a title on this message today, as I always do. And there's going to be something very familiar about this title. In fact, the title I'm going to put on this message has almost become a slogan for this ministry over the years. The title is, Keep on Walking by Faith. Keep on Walking by Faith. We've talked a lot about faith. And of course, we've been studying the fruit of the Spirit, and we know that faith is part of that fruit of the Spirit that we all need to get through this world. We also talked about faith when we did our series on the essentials, because we know that faith is an essential part of our Christian walk. We not only must have faith, which, of course, we know is a gift from God. A gift that can start out so small, like a grain of mustard seed, and it grows until it thrives into a mighty tree bringing forth much fruit. But faith is very, very important. And as we read the Bible, we will see time and time again that there were extraordinary men and women who had extraordinary faith. They didn't just have faith, though. More importantly, they walked by faith. There's something we need to understand about our lives. We are all on a journey. Each and every one of us is moving toward our final destination. Jesus told us in Matthew chapter 7, verses 13 through 14, Enter ye in at the straight gate, for wide is the gate, and broad is the way that leadeth to destruction. And many there be which go in thereat, because straight is the gate, and narrow is the way which leadeth unto life, and few there be that find it. So you see, every man, woman, and child who has ever lived, and all of those who are alive today, are all on a road. We are all on a journey. A lot of people choose the route that looks easier, but it's deceptive, because that broad way that Jesus was talking about leads to destruction. And yet there's a straight and narrow way. It's more difficult. It's harder. And sometimes you might feel like you're overwhelmed. You might feel like you're going to lose your balance. But we need to understand that as we walk that straight and narrow, there's somebody walking with us. There's someone who will pick you up when you fall. There's someone who will take you by the hand and reach out to you when you feel like you can't go on anymore. And we know that that is our God. Yes, it's important that as we walk this journey of life, that we walk by faith. There was a man in Scripture who was legendary for his faith. And that was a man named Abraham. This man was mentioned by Jesus Christ himself in the Gospels. He was also mentioned by Paul. In fact, Paul called him faithful Abraham in Galatians chapter 3, verse 9. Abraham was also mentioned in the book of James. In James 2, verse 23, Abraham is called the friend of God. And that distinction for Abraham to be called the friend of God was given to him because he believed God and it was counted to him for righteousness. Oh, it's so important for us to believe what God tells us. And Abraham was a man who set an awesome example for us. You know, he did something incredible. He did something that most people would never dare to do. One day the Lord came to Abraham and he told him, get up, pack up, leave the land where you're from, and I will lead you to a new land. When you get there, I will let you know. And that's exactly what Moses did. He left everything that he had known. He left it all behind without even knowing where he was going. But he believed God. He believed that God would get him where he needed to be and where he needed to go. We are going to be opening our scriptures to begin with to Genesis chapter 12. But before I read even one verse this morning, let's pray. Father in heaven, we come to thee in prayer this day, thanking thee for thy goodness and for thy mercy. We thank thee, Lord, that thou hast led us and that thou hast brought us here today to study thy word and to learn of thee. We ask, Lord, that thou would inspire our hearts and our minds, anoint our hearts, anoint our minds, make us ready to receive thy scripture. We ask, Lord, that thou would do a mighty work, O God, and inspire us to draw near to thee here this day. We pray, Lord, that what we read and what we learn would be a blessing that we can lay to heart, that it would not be quickly forgotten, but we ask, Lord, that we would absorb thy word and remember thy word. We pray, Lord, that it would make a deep impact on our souls. And we ask, Lord, that there would be no hindrances here today, but we bind and we break any force of darkness or any hindering power that would dare come against us, knowing full well that thou art sovereign, thou art almighty God. There is none like thee, there is none beside thee. Thou art God, very God. And thou art the only God there ever will be. We believe thy word, we believe thy promises, and we ask, Lord, that thou would be with us here this day. Give us ears to hear, eyes to see, hearts that would perceive and understand. And we pray this in Jesus' name, through the power of thy saving blood. Amen. So Abraham, faithful Abraham, was told by God to get up and to leave that land he was from. Genesis chapter 12, verse 1 tells us, now the Lord had said unto Abraham, get thee out of thy country. And remember, at the first his name was Abraham. God later changed his name to Abraham. But at this point he was still known as Abraham. Now the Lord had said unto Abraham, get thee out of thy country and from thy kindred and from thy father's house unto a land that I will show thee. God told him to pack up and leave. Most people would be reluctant to do that, but Abraham believed God. He believed God that the Lord would be with him everywhere he went. And he was a man who did a lot of walking. He was a man who did a lot of journeying. But each and every place he went, he walked with God and he walked by faith. And that is why he was able to take this great leap of faith, I guess we'd call it. He stepped out in faith, in obedience to what God told him to do. Most people would think this is crazy, to just up and leave and not even know where you're going. But God told him to do it, and because God told him to do it, he did it. So he told him, get thee out of thy country and from thy kindred and from thy father's house unto a land that I will show thee. And you know, before this chapter, chapter 12 in the book of Genesis, there's no indication that God had ever spoken directly to Abraham before. This very well could have been the first time. But when God spoke to Abraham, or Abram as he was known at the time, something stirred in his heart. Faith stirred in his heart. And that faith in his heart spurred him to action. When your faith is alive, it will spur you to action. It will make you want to do something. And thankfully, we have a God who can direct our steps, sometimes quite literally, as was going to be the case with Abraham. Verse 2, "And I will make of thee a great nation, and I will bless thee and make thy name great, and thou shalt be a blessing." Oh, what a wonderful promise. God was telling him, "I will make of thee a great nation. I will bless thee. I will make thy name great." And in so doing, he was going to be a blessing. In fact, this world has been very blessed that God had this friendship with Abraham. Because of this, one day, from his seed, the Messiah came forth. And that Messiah, the Lord Jesus Christ, is a blessing to each and every one of us. Because of him, we know the plan of salvation. We know how to be set free from our sin. And that was something that started all the way back here. If Abraham had not obeyed the Lord right here, everything else throughout history would have changed. In fact, we wouldn't even have our Old Testament. The entire Old Testament is based on the obedience of Abraham to God. And if there was no Old Testament, there would be no New Testament. In fact, there would have been no Israel. All of that happened because Abraham had this faith in God. God told him to get up and leave, and he did it. And with that direction, with that command from the Lord, came the promise of a great blessing. Verse 3, "And I will bless them that bless thee, and curse him that curseth thee, and in thee shall all families of the earth be blessed." And yes, we are blessed today because the Lord Jesus Christ did come forth. And we know that we have the promise of salvation because Jesus Christ did come forth. Verse 4, "So Abraham departed as the Lord had spoken unto him, and Lot went with him, and Abraham was 75 years old when he departed out of Haran." This story just becomes more and more remarkable when you stop and think about what's happening here. Abraham was 75 years old. In today's modern world, most people are retired by that age. Not everyone, but most people generally are retired by the time they hit age 75. And yet God here is telling them, pack up everything you have. Leave the land you're from. I'm going to lead you. I'm not telling you where you're going, but you will know when you get there. Most people, when they're 75, are too tired for such an adventure. But Abraham was so filled with faith, he knew that this was something he had to do. And so he did it. Verse 4, "So Abraham departed as the Lord had spoken unto him, and Lot went with him, and Abraham was 75 years old when he departed out of Haran. And Abraham took Sarai his wife, and Lot his brother's son, and all their substance that they had gathered, and the souls that they had gotten in Haran, and they went forth to go into the land of Canaan, and into the land of Canaan they came." And he wasn't even sure where he was going, but God led him to the land of Canaan. Verse 6 tells us, "And Abram passed through the land unto the place of Sychem, unto the plain of Moreh, and the Canaanite was then in the land. And the Lord appeared unto Abraham and said, Unto thy seed will I give this land. And there builded he an altar unto the Lord, who appeared unto them." Unto him, rather. So, God led him to this special land. This special land, and he made a promise here. He said, this land is going to belong to your descendants, to your seed. And God fulfilled that promise because God always keeps his promises. And the Lord appeared unto Abraham and said, Unto thy seed will I give this land. And there builded he an altar unto the Lord who appeared unto him. Yes, he was so thankful and so appreciative of God's leading hand in his direction that he stopped to worship the Lord. He built an altar so that he could worship God and offer sacrifices upon that altar. Verse 8, And he removed from thence unto a mountain on the east of Bethel, and pitched his tent, having Bethel on the west and Hai on the east. And there he builded an altar unto the Lord and called upon the name of the Lord. Of course, we know that Bethel means house of God, and Hai or Ai means heap of ruins. So, naturally, I think Bethel is a place you'd rather be than Ai or Hai. But here we see he's going a lot of different places as the Lord leads him along, and he spent his entire life journeying to a lot of different places. But everywhere he went, the Lord was with him. The Lord helped him. Sometimes he ran into trouble. Sometimes he made mistakes. Sometimes he had difficulties. But the Lord never forsook him, and the Lord was always with him. So it tells us, And he removed from thence unto a mountain on the east of Bethel, and pitched his tent, having Bethel on the west, and Haran and Hai on the east. And there he built an altar unto the Lord and called upon the name of the Lord. And Abram journeyed going on still toward the south. He kept moving. Verse 10 tells us, And there was a famine in the land, and Abram went down into Egypt to sojourn there, for the famine was grievous in the land. We see there was a famine. And of course, that's a recurring theme in Scripture. Quite often there were famines. But that's a problem even in this world today. There are many places in this world right now that are suffering from terrible famine. But we can thank God for the knowledge that he is with us even when there is a famine. There was a famine, but the Lord was leading him. The Lord would provide for him. The Lord would bless him, even during these times of trouble and difficulty. Verse 11, And it came to pass, when he was come near to enter into Egypt, that he said unto Sarai his wife, Behold now, I know that thou art a fair woman to look upon. Therefore it shall come to pass, when the Egyptians shall see thee, that they shall say, This is his wife, and they will kill me, but they will save thee alive. You know, Abraham was a very faithful man. He was called the friend of God, but that doesn't mean he was perfect. Sometimes he did make mistakes, and this is an example of him making a mistake. He had this fear in him because his wife was so beautiful. And something I find remarkable about this is Abraham at the time would have been 75, thereabouts. Perhaps a little time had passed since he first left. But he was for sure would have been in his 70s or beyond, and Sarai was 10 years younger. So if Abraham was 75 or older, that means Sarai was at least 65 years old when this took place in Egypt. And yet she was still so beautiful at that age that apparently Abraham was terrified that the Egyptians would be filled with jealousy and envy, that they would want Sarai so much that they would take her and kill him in the process. But when we're driven by fear, we make mistakes. And that was the case with Abraham. Nevertheless, God was merciful even when Abraham did something stupid, even when he did something foolish. Verse 13 tells us, "Say, I pray thee, thou art my sister, that it may be well with me for thy sake, and my soul shall live because of thee." Of course, I feel like he didn't really think this through. Say he said that she was his sister and she confirmed it. What happens then? This was a foolish plan. Verse 14. And it came to pass that when Abraham was come into Egypt, the Egyptians beheld the woman, that she was very fair. We don't know what she looked like, but she must have been quite something, a thing of beauty, to be sure. The Egyptians noticed her right away. Verse 15, the princes also of Pharaoh saw her and commended her before Pharaoh, and the woman was taken into Pharaoh's house. She was so attractive that she was actually taken and put in Pharaoh's house. The king of Egypt. Verse 16, and he entreated Abraham well for her sake, and he had sheep and oxen, and he asses, and men servants and maid servants, and she asses and camels. So Pharaoh gave Abraham all of these things for Sarai. But they should have just told the truth from the very outset. It is always the best course of action to tell the truth. The truth is precious. The truth is not highly regarded, especially in the world we live in today. And many people don't even know what truth is. But I believe I am of the mind that we should always tell the truth. And you can read the scriptures. The scriptures will tell you the same thing. We must tell the truth. So, Abraham didn't want to admit that Sarai was his wife for fear that he would be taken and killed. Nevertheless, we see here that Pharaoh was going to find out anyway, because the Lord was going to be merciful. Verse 17 tells us, and the Lord plagued Pharaoh and his house with great plagues because of Sarai, Abraham's wife. And Pharaoh called Abraham and said, what is this that thou hast done unto me? Why didst thou not tell me that she was thy wife? You know, when the Lord plagues, when the Lord curses, you can definitely tell that something is wrong. And this is something that Pharaoh could perceive. And somehow he was able to discern and realize this woman must be Abraham's wife. So he confronted Abraham. Why did you lie to me? Why didn't you tell me that she is your wife? Verse 19, why saidst thou she is my sister, so I might have taken her to me to wife? Now therefore, behold thy wife, take her and go thy way. The Lord was merciful, and even though he made that foolish mistake, God brought him through it. And as we journey through this life, remember, we're all on a journey. We're all on a road. Sometimes we might make foolish mistakes too. But thankfully, we serve a merciful God who can bring us through even our foolish mistakes. Verse 20, and Pharaoh commanded his men concerning him, and they sent him away and his wife and all that he had. Of course, they wanted him to leave. He wasn't welcome there anymore after his deception. But that's okay. It was time for him to move on. You know, he went from place to place and wasn't really feeling comfortable anywhere he went. Why is that? Well, the answer to that question is going to become clear as we continue through scripture here today. Nevertheless, everywhere he went, he walked by faith and he walked with the Lord. So the Lord would continue to lead him on. And in chapter 13, verse 1, it tells us, "And Abraham went up out of Egypt, he and his wife and all that he had, and Lot with him, into the south. And Abraham was very rich in cattle, in silver, and in gold. And he went on his journeys from the south even to Beth-El, unto the place where his tent had been at the beginning, between Beth-El and Hai. He continued his journey. The Lord blessed him mightily. He had cattle and silver and gold, more than he could ever want. But even those things, even all that wealth, couldn't satisfy the longing of his soul. He wanted to get to his destination, his final destination. He wanted to get to that place where he knew he was home. Verse 4, "Unto the place of the altar which he had made there at the first, and there Abraham called on the name of the Lord." He went back to that place where he had previously built that altar. He went and he called on the name of the Lord. And Lot also, which went with Abraham, had flocks and herds and tents, and the land was not able to bear them, that they might dwell together. For their substance was great, so that they could not dwell together. God had given them so much. Both Abraham and Lot were given so much. And yet, they were so blessed, but they couldn't live together anymore. Not because Abraham or Lot and Lot were picking at each other. Of course, they were related, and obviously Abraham was very, very fond of Lot. But the problem wasn't Abraham and Lot. The problem was their workers, their employees. They couldn't get along. Verse 7, "And there was a strife between the herdmen of Abram's cattle and the herdmen of Lot's cattle, and the Canaanite and the Perizzite dwelt then in the land." And you know, if you're a boss and you're operating a business and you're in charge, you have employees working under you, you know that there are going to be times when your workers are picking at one another, and that can really ruin your day or your week or your month even if it gets bad enough. And obviously this was a very, very bad situation, because Abraham decided, hey, we have to split up. We can't stay together because this is not working. Verse 8, "And Abram said unto Lot, let there be no strife, I pray thee, between me and thee, and between my herdmen and thy herdmen, for we be brethren." Of course, Abram always tried to keep the peace. He was a peacemaker. So he said, we need to split up, Lot, so that all of this strife will be taken away. We don't want this strife coming between us. And he was being very nice here. He's telling him, you can take whichever land you want, and I'll go the other way. I'll go the other direction. You get first pick. Verse 9 tells us, "Is not the whole land before thee? Separate thyself, I pray thee, from me. If thou wilt take the left hand, then I will go to the right. Or if thou depart to the right hand, then I will go to the left." He's saying, I'll go wherever you don't go. You pick first. He was being very agreeable here. He was a peacemaker. So, of course, Lot, he looked around, lifted up his eyes, and tried to find the very best land. It tells us in verse 10, "And Lot lifted up his eyes and beheld all the plain of Jordan, that it was well watered everywhere, before the Lord destroyed Sodom and Gomorrah, even as the garden of the Lord, like the land of Egypt, as thou comest unto Zoar." Lot picked the land that looked the best. It was well watered. I'm sure it was very green. And he thought, this is the place I want to go, because there'll be plenty of water for my cattle and for my flocks, and it'll be a great place to live. But you know what? Sadly, he pitched his tent toward that wicked city of Sodom. He would have been better off picking the other direction. It tells us in verse 11, then Lot shows him all the plain of Jordan, and Lot journeyed east, and they separated themselves the one from the other. Abram dwelt in the land of Canaan, and Lot dwelt in the cities of the plain, and pitched his tent toward Sodom. It's interesting, because the scriptures tell us in chapter 13 of Genesis that Lot pitched his tent toward Sodom. He didn't go and live in Sodom at the first. But eventually, we find that he did end up in that evil and wicked city. A city that was so filled with wickedness and evil that God destroyed it with fire and brimstone. But you know what? God was merciful even then to Lot, and he sent his angels to go and fetch him out before the cities of Sodom and Gomorrah were completely consumed and destroyed by the wrath and fire of God. Oh yes, God was with Lot as well. Lot made a poor choice. It was bad enough that he pitched his tent toward Sodom, but that evil and wicked city was obviously drawing him in. Eventually, he was living right there amongst those evil and wicked doers. Verse 13 tells us, but the men of Sodom were wicked and sinners before the Lord exceedingly. They weren't just wicked and sinful, they were wicked and sinful to an exceeding degree. And of course, we know that the biggest sin in those cities was the sin of homosexuality. God does not tolerate that, even when the rest of the world does. And people don't want to hear that anymore. But we need to stop and ask ourselves, how does God feel about it? The Bible is very clear on the topic. Nevertheless, that's not a message that's accepted in our modern world today, and especially here in the United States. Just this past June, they had a month of pride. But judgment is going to fall in this country too, just as it fell in Sodom and in Gomorrah. Verse 14, and the Lord said unto Abram, after that Lot was separated from him, lift up now thine eyes, and look from the place where thou art northward, and southward, and eastward, and westward. Notice here, everywhere Abram went, the Lord was with him, the Lord was leading him, the Lord was directing his steps. And now he's telling him, look around. Look north. Look south. Look east. Look west. God was making him a promise. Verse 15, for all the land which thou seest, to thee will I give it, and to thy seed forever. All of the land that he could see, looking north, south, east, west, was going to be given to his seed. And yes, God kept that promise. Verse 16, and I will make thy seed as the dust of the earth, so that if a man can number the dust of the earth, then shall thy seed also be numbered. Of course, we know that no one can count the dust. And you might wonder, you might say, well, as far as Jewish people, and as far as Israelite people, it's not impossible to count them and to see how many there are. But we know that Abraham's seed are more than just Jewish people. That's just his physical seed in this world, but we know that those who belong to the Lord Jesus Christ are also children of Abraham by faith. Because Jesus Christ, the man, the flesh, that body of our Savior, descended from Abraham. And Jesus came to enact his will and his testament and to adopt many, many people who would believe on him, to enact that will and testament so that we can receive our inheritance. But he's adopted us. And by extension, we are the seed of Abraham. And, you know, sometimes it may not seem like there are many Christians in the world today, and it certainly feels like we're in the minority. But when we get to heaven, and we are with everyone who believed on the Lord Jesus Christ, everyone who looked for the Messiah to come before Jesus Christ did come, everyone who walked in faith, you're not going to be able to count everyone. Oh yes, it will be a great and multiplied seed. We're going to continue on here in Genesis chapter 13 as we reach the end of this chapter. Verse 17 tells us, "Arise, walk through the land, in the length of it, and in the breadth of it, for I will give it unto thee." God here is telling them, walk through the land, the length of it, the breadth of it. This is what I'm going to give to you. This is what I'm going to give to your seed. Then Abram removed his tent and came and dwelt in the plain of Mamre, which is in Hebron, and built there an altar unto the Lord. Yes, God instructed him, walk through the land. And you know what? As he did that, he was walking by faith. He was believing the promises of God. He was believing that what God had said he would do, God would do. Each step he took as he walked through that land was a step of faith. But you know what? Even though he walked through that land that would be promised to his physical seed, he still felt like his journey continued. He still felt like he had somewhere else to go. He never quite felt at home anywhere he went on this earth. Let's look at Hebrews chapter 11. Hebrews chapter 11. Hebrews chapter 11, and we're going to be starting with verse 8. It tells us in Hebrews 11, and of course this is the faith chapter. This chapter is all about those mighty people of faith, those mighty men and women of faith, all of whom walked by faith as they journeyed through this life. It's an inspirational chapter. And this chapter even defines faith. We know that faith is the substance of things hoped for. It tells us in verse 1. The evidence of things not seen. And we also see in this chapter that we must have faith because without faith, it is impossible to please him. It tells us in verse 6. But we're also going to read about all these wonderful people who served the Lord, who walked by faith. And Abraham, of course, received special mention in this chapter. Verse 8 tells us, by faith, Abraham, when he was called to go out into a place which he should after receive for an inheritance, obeyed, and he went out not knowing whither he went. He didn't know where he was going, but every step he took was a step of faith. He believed that the Lord was going to get him where he needed to go. Every step was a step of faith. He had to journey to a lot of different places in his life. But the Lord led him along and was with him every step of the way. No matter where he was in this world, there was never a time that the Lord was not with him. Once God had revealed himself to him, and God was with him on his journeys. He didn't know where he was going. He knew he was searching for something. He knew he was looking for a place that felt like home. A place where he could be comfortable in the Lord. But we need to understand that if you are a Christian, if you are serving the Lord, you're not going to find a place on this world so full of sin where you truly feel completely 100% comfortable. And the reason for that is because sin is going to make you uncomfortable if you serve the Lord, if you belong to God. That's why you just never quite feel like you're home. Oh, we have a little taste of heaven. We can be in heavenly places with Christ Jesus. He's with us when we're at our houses. He's with us in our cars. He's with us when we're here in this building. He's with us as we go. But we know that we're all looking for a special place. When will we get there? We don't know. But when we get there, we will know we have arrived. By faith, Abraham, it tells us in verse 8, when he was called to go out into a place where he should after receive for an inheritance, obeyed, and he went out not knowing whither he went. By faith he sojourned in the land of promise, as in a strange country, dwelling in tabernacles with Isaac and Jacob, the heirs with him of the same promise. Oh yes, Isaac and Jacob, who would become Israel, were also recipients of that wonderful promise that they would be multiplied and the entire earth would be blessed. Verse 10, for he looked for a city which hath foundations, whose builder and maker is God. As Abraham roamed this earth, he was looking for a place where he could get to a city that God built. He couldn't find that here on earth. And yet, it was a promise that would be realized one fine day. Verse 11, through faith also Sarah herself received strength to conceive seed and was delivered of a child when she was past age, because she judged him faithful who had promised. Of course, we know that that is a mighty miracle. God had made a promise to Abraham and to Sarah that they would have a son, and from him would grow a multitude of people. A great seed would come forth. But Abraham was very old, and Sarah was very old. She was past her childbearing years. By the time she gave birth to Isaac, she was 90 years old. And Abraham was 100. But we need to understand something. This is very important, and that is that nothing is impossible with God. He can do anything. And of course, we know that the child was named Isaac because the name Isaac means laughter. When Sarah heard that she was going to have a child in her old age, she laughed. And as a reminder of that, she was instructed to name her child Isaac. Nevertheless, Isaac grew and was made strong, and he had children of his own. And we know that Jacob also had children. In fact, he was the father of the 12 tribes of Israel. And the great seed came forth from him. Eventually, further on down the line, our Savior came forth. And when that finally happened, when that glorious day finally took place, every nation, every family of the earth was blessed, because now we have that opportunity to be recipients of that wondrous plan of salvation. It took miracles to make that happen. It took things that would have been considered impossible. But these people had faith. Abraham had faith. Sarah had faith. Through faith also, Sarah herself received strength to conceive seed and was delivered of a child when she was past age, because she judged him faithful who had promised. Therefore sprang there even of one, and him as good as dead, so many as the stars of the sky in multitude, and as the sand which is by the seashore innumerable. Because something happened that the world would deem impossible. But by faith we know that this is true. We know that this happened. If this hadn't happened, there would be no reason for us to even read our Bibles. There would be no reason for us. If none of this had happened, to believe this word. But we know it's true. We can feel it. And the reason we can feel it is because God has put something in our hearts, something called faith. So these words ring true. When we read the Word of God, when we read the Bible, it interacts with the faith in our hearts. And there's a reaction there. And your faith grows stronger and stronger and stronger. And we have felt the Lord with us. We know that He is with us. We know that He has blessed us. We know that He has helped us. We know that He's been with us. Even when we've made mistakes, even when we've done foolish things, He's led us by the hand. He's led us along. And we know that He will never, ever forsake us. Jesus Christ Himself promised, "Lo, I am with you always, even to the end of the world." I firmly believe that, and I hope you all do too. Verse 12, therefore sprang there even of one, and him as good as dead, as so many as the stars of the sky in multitude, and as the sand which is by the seashore innumerable. These all died in faith, not having received the promises, but having seen them afar off, and were persuaded of them, and embraced them, and confessed that they were strangers and pilgrims on the earth. What promises is it talking about here? Well, there was a promise made, wasn't there? That all families of the earth would be blessed. And of course, they were looking for that glorious event that would take place that would make that happen. But it didn't happen in their lifetimes on this planet. Nevertheless, it did happen when the Lord Jesus Christ came forth. And we live in that wonderful period of time where we're so blessed to have a complete Bible. We're so blessed to know that Jesus came, and we're so blessed to know what He did for us. They didn't have that benefit, and yet they looked for that day when the Blessed One of God would come forth. But they felt like strangers. They felt like pilgrims in the earth. And I think we can all relate to that, because as we progress through time, this world grows increasingly wicked. And the more wicked it becomes, the more uncomfortable you are going to be if you love the Lord. But it's okay, because this world that we are in right now, this planet we are on right now, is not our final destination. Verse 14, for they that say such things declare plainly that they seek a country. And truly, if they had been mindful of that country from whence they came out, they might have had opportunity to have returned. They could have gone back to where they came from. But they didn't want to. Instead, they kept moving forward each and every day. Steps of faith, steps of faith, steps of faith, letting God lead them and direct them everywhere they went. They didn't know where they were going exactly, but they knew that the Lord was with them, and that was the most important thing. So they had no desire to go back where they came from. Instead, They were looking for a special place, a special city, a better country. Verse 14, for they that say such things declare plainly that they seek a country. And truly, if they had been mindful of that country from whence they came out, they might have had opportunity to have returned. But now they desire a better country, that is, a heavenly. Wherefore God is not ashamed to be called their God, for he hath prepared for them a city. Oh yes, we see the desire here to find that special place, to find that better country. We're going to turn now in closing to 2 Corinthians chapter 5. 2 Corinthians chapter 5. Yes, we are all on a journey, aren't we? But we need to do what Abraham did and walk by faith. Let God direct your steps. Follow the Lord Jesus Christ and let every step with him be a step of faith. 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 1 tells us, for we know that if our earthly house of this tabernacle were dissolved, we have a building of God, a house not made with hands, eternal in the heavens. Right now, we're here on this earth. We have our physical bodies. And what are our physical bodies, really? Our physical bodies are homes for our souls. And of course, as we get older, our bodies wear out and things don't work as well as they used to. But we have a promise here that one fine day, we're going to have a better building. We're going to have a better house for our souls. Verse 2, for in this we groan earnestly, desiring to be clothed upon with our house, which is from heaven. If so be that being clothed, we shall not be found naked. For we that are in this tabernacle do groan, being burdened, and not for that we would be unclothed, but clothed upon, that mortality might be swallowed up of life. It's not always easy living in a fallen world. We feel pain. Our bodies hurt sometimes, and we feel the anguish and the weight of sin in this world. We see sin and it grieves our spirits, it grieves our minds, it grieves our souls. It's painful to be surrounded by sin. And so we groan earnestly, desiring to be clothed with our new body, with our new house, which is from heaven. Verse 4, for we that are in this tabernacle do groan, being burdened, not for that we would be unclothed, but clothed upon, that mortality might be swallowed up of life. What does mortality mean? Well, when you're mortal, you can die. But God is going to give us immortality through Jesus Christ. We have no immortality of ourselves, and we never could. But because Jesus Christ is alive forevermore, we can be alive forevermore. And our mortality is swallowed up of life. Verse 5, now he that hath wrought us for the selfsame thing is God, who also hath given unto us the earnest of the Spirit. We know that we have an inheritance waiting for us. But until that time, when we receive it in full, when we receive our new house in our heavenly home, we have the earnest of the Spirit, the earnest of our inheritance, the Holy Ghost to comfort, to direct, to inspire, and to teach. Verse 6, therefore, we are always confident, knowing that whilst we are at home in the body, we are absent from the Lord, for we walk by faith, not by sight. Yes, we're walking by faith. We believe what God has said. We believe what God has promised. We believe that one fine day we're going to leave this world behind and we're going to shed these mortal bodies. We're going to be given glorified bodies in heaven. And there will be no more pain, there will be no more sorrow, there will be no more tears. Verse 8, we are confident, I say, and willing rather to be absent from the body and to be present with the Lord. We need to understand. For a time, when we die in this world, our spirits go to be with God. But one fine day there's going to be a resurrection. That resurrection will take place at the end of the world and when judgment day comes. Until that time, we're absent from our bodies and present with the Lord when we leave this world. We pass from death to life. But we will be given new bodies in heaven after the resurrection. Verse 9, wherefore we labor, that whether present or absent, we may be accepted of him. For we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ, that everyone may receive the things done in his body according to that he hath done, whether it be good or bad. Yes, we're walking by faith. We're trusting that God is able to get us to this place, this better country, this city whose builder and maker is God. There's no place on earth quite like it. So what does it mean to walk by faith? It means that as you journey through this life on your way to your eternal destination, you know that God is with you every step of the way. You know, after Moses left this world, God chose a man named Joshua to lead the Israelites. And God made Joshua a promise. In Joshua chapter 1, verse 9, it says, have not I commanded thee? Be strong and of good courage. Be not afraid, neither be thou dismayed. For the Lord thy God is with thee, whithersoever thou goest. When we understand that, we can walk by faith because he is with us. He will be with us on our journey. But walking by faith is also about realizing that not only is he with us as we walk in our day-to-day lives, but walking by faith is also the realization, the unwavering belief that we will reach our destination. Abraham had this faith. Although he never found what he was looking for in this world, he did indeed reach his final destination, a city whose builder and maker is God. And you know what? That place is being prepared for God's people right now. John chapter 14, verse 1 tells us, let not your heart be troubled. Ye believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you. And of course, I've mentioned this before. How can there be mansions in a house? Well, those mansions are going to be our glorified bodies. It's going to be an incredible upgrade over the bodies we have right now. In comparison, there are going to be mansions. But Jesus Christ has gone to prepare a place for his people. Verse 3 tells us, and if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there ye may be also. That's a promise. You can embrace that promise today. You can believe God just as Abraham believed God. It was counted as righteousness for Abraham, and it will be counted as righteousness for you if you walk by faith. Let him direct your steps each and every day. Let him reveal his will to you. And as you journey through this world, your faith will grow stronger if your hope and your trust is in God. Nothing wavering, of course, but just a belief that God is with you and will get you to your final destination. So keep on walking by faith. I'm going to close with a prayer. Father in heaven, we thank thee, O God, for thy precious word, and we thank thee for thy promises. We thank thee for the knowledge and for the understanding that thou art able to get us through this world and through all of the struggles and trials of this world. We thank thee for the knowledge, O God, that thou hast promised to save us, that thou hast promised to be with us, that thou hast promised to never forsake us. And we thank thee, O God, for the knowledge that we have an inheritance waiting for us in heaven. We pray, Lord, that thou would help each and every one of us who are here to be strong in the faith, to always walk by faith and not by sight, to trust thee fully and completely. I pray for those who are here in this building. I pray for those who are online, and I pray for all thy people throughout this entire world. Strengthen thy people and let thy blessing be upon thy people. We ask, Lord, that thou would get us to that special place, that better country, that city whose builder and maker is God. We pray this in Jesus' name, through the power of thy saving blood. Amen.
Song request earlier for 71 in the chorus book. I guess we can do that. We're coming out of Babylon.
Thank you. Thank you.